to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Easter Day, April 9th, 2023, by Father John Muhlendijk.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen!
Hallelujah! How with all those sounds kind of quiet down, and I think from the back seat I can hear a couple of voices saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then the thundering voice of the elder cries out, yes, we're finally there. The noise calms down. The kids climb out of the car. And the smart aleck voice pipes up and says, this doesn't look like Kansas. Smiling faces, anticipating the familiar, suddenly becoming deep frowns. Disappointment fills the scene like rising smoke, and a cacophony of voices spring up. They join together in unison and sing, but you promise, you promise, you promise. Those of you who have kids or have kids or work kids, does that sound familiar? I'm wondering if this type of scenario was in Jesus' face when the disciples found Jesus outside of the tomb. Jesus had finally taken his childlike followers on a journey, only to find out that where he took them wasn't where they wanted to be or where they thought they would end up. The person who was more magnificent. She's the apostle to the apostle. She saw what was going on. Nobody else did. And I wonder when she invited the other disciples to come and see, she might have added a few words like from the Wizard of Oz. If you can't figure it out, just follow the yellow brick road, the one that Jesus left. Mary was the one who got. Many people today, I think, have a hard time believing in the actual resurrection. What does it really mean? At first in our life, new life is promised. Resurrection is promised. That realities of life stay in. You know what they are. Breakthrough, anger, hostility, hostile words, war, hunger, abuse, gun violence, poverty, all of them dampening our expectation of resurrection. Resurrection seems like a promise that never really comes true, and we never have a chance of ending up back in Kansas, if you want to use that expression. I think that's our challenge today. We proclaim that the church is taking everyone on a good journey, and they are. But when we get out of the car and enter the real world, we find ourselves in a strange place, a place that doesn't make sense. Eventually, we drift away, and many of the kids take matters into their own hands. If you don't think so, take a look at the AK-45s that we see being shot at people all around the country in schools and stores. For these kids, and for many of us, salvation, resurrection, and eternal life, only a minute. The focus on resurrection has been the same old story, defeated by the church over and over and over again through the centuries. I can get hyped up about resurrection, especially today. I see all of you here, the wonderful choir, the noise, and drums, I can really get kept up by it. But to be truthful, about 2 weeks from now, it's kind of like one cup of coffee and I really want to settle down and think about that resurrection thing. Does that make me a bad person, an unfaithful person to tell that? Does that make you one? I don't think so. When we make the Easter resurrection story central to salvation, we are on a joyful journey. But when we make the resurrection story about something that happens only after we die, then we're in trouble. Yet the church now is just beginning to grapple with this. And death and resurrection continuous and work together all the time. At this point, some people are going to ask, well, why are you talking about death? We just did that the last couple of days. We're supposed to be celebrating resurrection. Well, we are. So why is the church beginning to talk about this now? We do so because we're finding that our thinking about fathers a long time ago were uncoupling with death and resurrection. They pulled the two apart. It's kind of hard to get resurrection with death and die. So they pulled that apart. And what they did is the church put resurrection up there, if you're good enough, you know, because the resurrection and all that for us, it comes under the judgment day, is that that's the final thing, and then you're going up or you're going down, depending on what you did. And of course, they needed somebody to control that whole process, so the priest in charge. We're going up, we're going down. Oh, by the way, we don't really do it. So it's kind of a conundrum. That's been pulled apart. It's really ominous. But despite that news, this heartening news, the good news on this day, today, is that resurrection is occurring all the time in our lives. In dying to our own selfish desires, resurrection occurs for us and for others. That's what Jesus was saying and teaching. As a people of God, we're not separated from the rest of creation. We don't get a pass to be special. St. Francis would say, everything's connected. Nothing is excluded in God's world. Death and resurrection. We'll see, born, live, die, and resurrect. So, what difference does this make? Unlike any other entity, like animals, plants, or anything else in the world, we do things, we have the ability to do things differently. That's to do good for others. That's our exceptional capacity. Doing good is resurrection. Doing good is resurrection. We witness resurrection every time we do good to and with for others. Salvation is shown through our actions. As far as Jesus is concerned, as being the Son of God, he really didn't have to appear. You know that? Die, God knows. When he come back, there's a bunch of misery and a bunch of people who crucified him. He said, why did he come back? And I think it was to put a book in on this whole thing. He wanted to make a reappearance in order to make a final comment and a reminder of his life. I think his final comment to you and me would be, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. That's the promise of the resurrection. You're going to be okay. You may be stressed out. You may feel lonely, anxious, depressed, but everything is going to be hey. Jesus probably said, hey, everybody, look at me and see what God has done. Even your worst fear, death being crucified, it's gone. Death will never hold you down because the grip of death is gone. It's gone from my life and it's going to be gone from yours forever. And I think Jesus' final reminder might be heard as a comment on the yellow brick road. I can almost hear Jesus say, while this life may not look like Jesus, I've actually given you a yellow brick road to follow. The yellow brick road is my life. a lot of crucifixions have been cleaned off, death is gone, and it now shines brightly for anyone to follow. So my robe, follow my robe, follow my actions, follow my deeds, follow my words, the words that I gave you at our Last Supper. Remember, love one another as I have loved you. That's the whole message of Jesus' life. That's the whole message of resurrection and the whole message of salvation. Just love. Just love as I have loved you. And when you think you can't love anymore, pick yourself up and go ahead and love again anyway. And do it again and again and again. Again. And then you'll end up by saying, remember, I've got you. I promise. I've got you. I've got you now, and I will hold you forever. That's the full meaning of resurrection. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. On this most holy day throughout the world, people are being baptized. It's also a day of celebration. Becoming part of the community of Baptist is a way to come into the world. And baptism is a process. It's not a couple of drops of water. It starts with a very naughty here. The words of your mother and father saying, we love you. That's the beginning of baptism. And it goes all the way through, or maybe you go to church, maybe you have water for shine, and then as you get older, it continues to come. Baptism is a process. And the reason I'm saying that, we're going to have communion. And anyone at any stage in that baptismal journey can come up for communion. We celebrate together. No one is excluded. God is inclusive of everyone who is loved. So together, let's go through the renewal of our baptismal vows. Dear Isaac, through the Paschal mystery of your friends here, buried with Christ by baptism into his death, and raised with him to newness of life, I call upon you, therefore, now that our Lenten service is ended, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism, by which we once renounced Satan and all his works, and promised to serve God's faith in his holy God-given church. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was conceived by God, the Spirit, and born on earth. He suffered and was crucified, was crucified by God. He descended, conquered, lost death. He ascended, and seated at the right hand of God. He will come again.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the Communion, the remission of sins, resurrection, and life.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will.
Will you persevere to resist the evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and turn to the Lord?
I will.
We will pray by word and fast the good news of God and Christ.
I will.
You seek to serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself.
I will.
You strive for justice, peace among all people, respect the dignity of every human. May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by his grace, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.